right. Good morning, Church on the Rock. Ha ha ha. We thought we would not be able to meet, but no, we can still do this. So thank you for everyone that is taking the risk to be here with us. Thank you. And for all of you who are at home, I hope you can sit back and relax and enjoy and take all this in. And I hope God really blesses you today with his word. There's a wonderful thing that happened this last week to me. I had a message from somebody way in my past, probably maybe 10, 15 years ago. And she said, Dave, I saw you and I heard the message and it was really cool. And it was good. Anyway, it was really fun because that message sort of is starting the whole process of her reconnecting with Jesus. And I thought, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how did she find Church on the Rock and be a part of our group site? How? Then all of a sudden, I realized she didn't. I shared the screen. Basically, I shared the story. So underneath where it says, you know, that little arrow, that's a share arrow, you can press that. And then a little menu box comes up and it says share now. And that's all I did. And then it just popped on my site. And now she saw it and she's reconnecting with God. God is so cool in how he can use this crazy online time in our lives, isn't he? So I'm going to pray and hopefully we're going to get some good things out of God's word. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are good and you are great. You are great, the only good one. And Lord, help us to understand you. Help us to understand your heart for us, even just one level deeper. I pray for those who are on the way to God. Lord, just stir up their heart that they would want to say yes to you because you want a forever relationship with them to start today. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us who know you and walk with you. God, just reignite our love for Jesus. Please do that in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, if I was going around and shaking hands, which I can't right now, I would say, hi, hello, I'm Dave. And then I would say, follow that, oh, I'm Dave. And they would ask, people would ask, so why are you here? What do you do? And I would say, hi, I'm a pastor. Or else if I'm another situation, I'd say, I'm a professor. I'm a pastor. I'm a professor. I'm a speaker, which tells you nothing about me whatsoever, does it? You don't know anything really about me until somebody says, no, tell me, who are you? And then I would say, well, this is really who I am. Really who I am is I'm internal. I'm an internal person. And thoughts just bang around there all the time. I'm imaginative. And so I imagine a better place. I imagine us being in our own building, right? I imagine us being there with people coming in and driving by and doing outreaches and loving this city to Jesus. I can imagine all that. I can see it all. But because I'm internal, I'm a worrier too. I tend towards that. My mind starts binging around. But I'm a believer and I believe deeply in what God is doing. And I just need to work. I for some reason, if you want to know who I am, I have to work. I just have to work every day at something. It's this sort of this drive in me. So when you say I am, it just strips away more than just your job. You start to dig down to find out who a person is. Now we mentioned that Jesus had seven times through the Gospels, more times in the book of Revelation, but seven times in the Gospels he said, I am. And when he did that, he starts to describe a little bit deeper who he is. He's telling us under the surface. These I am proclamations are also very much tied to God. So every time he says, I am, he is again reminding everybody, hey, I'm God, God on this planet, God showing up here. He is divine because when you hear the thing, I am, that's the name that God gave Moses at the burning bush. Who do I say that you are? Moses asked. And God said, tell them I am sent you. And I know some of you think, is Jesus really thinking that? Is that really in the back of your mind? Let me give you a little interaction that Jesus had with the Pharisees just to show you that he fully understood when he said I am what that meant. It's found in John chapter 8, verses 53. And then I'm going to jump ahead to 56 and 59. And the Pharisees are talking to Jesus, and they say, are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? and the prophets who died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Which is a great question, isn't it? Who do you make yourself out to be? Tell us more about who you really think you are. And so, Jesus lets everything just like the curtain is parted, and he tells them exactly who he is. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. And he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, hold on. You're not 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to him, truly, truly. When Jesus says truly, truly, it's like, lean in. This is important. I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So cool, isn't it? Before Abraham was even born, I am. I can almost hear, you know, the airways reverberate with he's saying, basically, before Abraham was born, I'm God. So it's really fun to hang out with people that think Jesus is a good teacher, a moral teacher. Yes, he's a good teacher, wonderful moral example. But then you say, but he's God, the only God. And you go, hold on. Well, Jesus certainly thought he was and told people he was. And how do you know that they got it? It says they picked up stones to throw at him. They're going to kill him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Any religion that says that Jesus was a good teacher but not God come in flesh is either a cult or a false religion. It's Jesus showed up. God himself showed up on this planet. And so week one, he tells you an I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. And we sort of dug down on that and found out what that means. Is that not just that you hang out with Jesus and you get resurrected at death, which is cool, but he is the resurrection. And so the moment you say yes to Jesus, he resurrects your spirit, and you become a resurrected person. And that's why we will never die. Our bodies die, but our spirits will never die. Isn't that cool? And I don't understand it, but there's like little hints of it in the Bible. It says the sting of death has been removed. What does that mean, right? I have no idea. I haven't died yet. The thing is, somehow my spirit will never die because I have the resurrected life. And the resurrected life starts now in how we live our lives. And he starts to make us come spiritually alive. The next word that we have is I am. Hello, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now, this has so many threads to the Old Testament. It's just crazy. It's just all over the place. Right from Genesis to Revelation, the whole idea of the shepherd is all through. We could spend 2 months just on this idea that, hello, I am the good shepherd. Don't worry, we're not going to do that. The idea, but remember I was talking about the Bible? How it's written by different authors over hundreds and hundreds of years in different places. And yet it sounds like it's written by one person. This is part of it. Yeah, this is really cool. Because you find out, you know, Ezekiel and Jeremiah are saying the same things that Jacob did in Genesis that are said by John. It's all, you go, wow, this is all written by one person. And so it goes back to start even in Genesis 48:15. And this is Jacob speaking. May the God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. And so the good shepherd, right from the first time it's mentioned, is God. God is our shepherd. And now everybody is sort of compared to that. And so why? Why sheep? Why shepherds? Why that? We just don't run into that very much here, all right? We really don't run into that. I'm going to give you three reasons why the whole sheep and shepherd thing is a big deal. Number one, sheep were the animals of the Middle East. If you go to the Middle East, it is not quite lush ground. It's basically one dirt pile, and you're looking around for little tufts of grass here and there. And for some reason, so you're not going to cultivate crops. There's going to be grazing animals at best, and cattle would not be able to survive on much of the place in the Middle East. But Sheep can. They find little bits, and sheep can last on very little water. And so they are made for the Middle East. So everybody that heard this would go, any story about sheep and shepherds, they go, that makes sense. All of a sudden, things would just pop all in their minds. All the illustrations that we have to dig down and talk about, they would get right away because sheep are the animals of the Middle East. Number two, sheep are weak animals. They're just weak animals. They are just not the best animals in the world. They're not smartest. They get sort of concentrated. That's what some sheep ranchers, do they call them ranchers or farmers? I don't know. Anyway, sheep ranchers, and they said that a sheep will get down and nibble. And sort of not where, no, they'll nibble themselves lost off a hill. They just sort of get concentrated on where they're at in their little world, and they just keep on going. they have no natural defenses. They have no natural defenses. You know, even chickens, they run at you, don't they? Yeah, I've seen many, many YouTube and TikTok of chickens attacking people. Canadian geese. I just saw another thing. It says, not all Canadians are nice. And then you see the Canadian geese attacking people. Sheep. What do? Somebody described them as walking shish kebabs. They have these little legs. And just meat on the top of them, and they can't even run nicely. You know, you see, you know, graceful horses, and they sort of okay. They can't even run well. So this is what sheep. I heard a speaker who grew up on a farm, and at this farm they had sheep, and these sheep they didn't raise for meat; they raised them for wool. And so they had these sheep for a long time. In fact, they said in the Middle East, most often the shepherds were raising them for wool. And so they would get to know the sheep and give them names. And he said there's this really old sheep named Herman. Herman the sheep. And he said he was gingerly getting through the electrical fence. He said they had this electrical fence juiced up a bit called weed burners. In case the grass hit it, they would burn off. And so it's not your nice little shock. It's a little juiced up. And as he was in the middle of getting through the fence, Herman comes and butts him, headbutts him into the fence. And so he got so angry at Herman, you know, and Herman's like, you know, running away. So he hit around the building, and next time he saw Herman come, he said, I'm so going to surprise that old sheep, man. So he hit it behind the building. Herman comes around, and he goes, boo! And he said, Herman died, fell down. He just died. That was his natural defense, to die. We're sheep. In other words, the Bible describes us as sheep. We're not the smartest of creatures. We're not able to defend ourselves. We need a shepherd. In fact, most times the Bible talks about sheep, it's not really in a positive air. Like Isaiah 53:6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. In other words, we've got down and nibbled ourselves lost somewhere. We've all gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and you can just see the sheep just like heading everywhere. So why do we talk about sheep and shepherds? Sheep are the animal of the Middle East. People would get it. Sheep are weak animals. Number three, that good leaders are like shepherds. In other words, the shepherds just sort of emulated all the things you would want in a good leader, a good leader. I've read so many in preparations for this, so many stories about people in the Middle East who have seen and talked with shepherds. They paint this wild picture, is that in the open land, in the open grazing land, the shepherd would have to be aware all the time, like day and night. It's like once you rest a bit, all of a sudden wild animals could come. So they had to be attuned and alert all the time to protect the sheep. They just had to, and they're out in the elements all the time. And so they these weather-beaten, sort of grizzled faces, and they always had to be ready to protect the sheep. And all of a sudden, they'd see the sheep not doing well, and all the little tufts of grass were gone, so they have to take them somewhere else. And as they're talking about sheep and good shepherds, there's four things that a good shepherd does. And it relates to good leadership. It relates to good leadership. And it's all found in Psalm 23. That's why we ran the Psalm 23 video. Number one, good shepherds feed. They just said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, he leads me in green fields, right, beside quiet waters. So good shepherds make sure people are fed. a good shepherd's guide. As Psalm 23 says, he guides me in right paths for his name's sake. So good shepherds feed their people and guide the people. But they also protect them. They, you know, his rod and staff, they comfort me. A rod, basically they said it's like a big club with a hunk of wood on the top of it. Sometimes they said they would be sharp bits of metal. Basically, if something's coming, you can just bash it on the head. And there's a shepherd's crook that you could pull the sheep out of problems. So there's this, so they feed, they guide, they protect. But they're also care. They care deeply about these animals. Good shepherds will take the animals and put them on their shoulders. Good shepherds will make sure that they're free from lice and check them out. Good shepherds actually care. In other words, in Psalm 23, surely goodness will follow me the rest of my life. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And in fact, in Isaiah 40:11, it says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather up the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. It's this idea of a good shepherd feeds. A good shepherd guides, protects, and truly cares. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about bad shepherds. Ezekiel chapter 34, we don't have time to look into, but it stretches out in places in Jeremiah. It says, there were just bad leaders. They're taking advantage of their sheep. They're slaughtering their sheep instead of caring for them and using them for their wool. And basically, they were letting them scatter. In fact, three times all through those things, you have scattered my sheep. And God, we're his sheep, right? Those of us who are because he's the good shepherd. Those of us who are Christians, he is our shepherd. And the Bible says, listen, you bad leaders, you're giving them no guidance. You're not feeding them. You're not protecting them. You don't have compassion on them. And so this is almost like a pushback to leadership. Paul actually talks about it in the New Testament, Acts chapter 20. He's about to leave a church he loves so much. I just can feel that anxiety and angst in his heart. He says in Acts 20, 29 and 30, he says, I know after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. You can almost feel that pastor's heart, right? Oh, I know I have to move on. But there's people who will just try and mess with you. Even from your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. And he said, listen, please protect yourselves, people. Your sheep, you have knobby knees, okay? Make sure that they stay away from the wolves. And so in a weird way, I feel the weight of being your pastor. We've got a great team of pastors here at Church of the Rock. I love each one of us. But I am a pastor under the pastor. I'm one of his under shepherds. And so I have to continually ask myself, am I feeding you well? Am I providing good food for you? Is it something just the latest thing that's coming around the cycle? Or is it something that actually is feeding your soul? Am I guiding you? We say, I think this is what God has us to do. Come on, let's get over this hill because there's better grass over here. Am I guiding you? Am I keeping you safe from distorted teaching? And lastly, do I have real compassion or is this a job? Is it a job? I check in, got my hours done. Okay, move on. Or is this something more? And those who are pastors, it is deeply something more. It is something that we lose sleep over, that we pray over, that we carry with us all the time, being alert for God's sheep. And so knowing all that background, Jesus comes on the scene and says, you know who I am? I am the good shepherd. Isn't that loaded? Isn't that just loaded? Like, I'm not a shepherd. No. I am the, echoes God. I am the good. At one point, you know, Jesus is talking to somebody. They're saying, hold on, you're good. And he said, hold on, only God is good. So he calls himself good. I am the God, good, instead of God, yes, shepherd. Which takes on that care, that feeding, that protection, all that good stuff. And so in John chapter 10, he really zeroes in, and we're going to spend our last little bit just finding out what Jesus says, how he describes himself as the good shepherd. Now, again, all four of those things of a good shepherd are in this passage, but I'm only going to draw out really one or two here for the time that's remaining. So here, we're going to start in John chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. He talks about the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, that's the shepherd. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them all out, all on his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. People would know this. And I want to show some YouTube videos on it, but every time, you know, copyright. So, okay, we don't want to get shut down. God bless the, you know, being online. But anyway, so we can't do that. But I wish you got to look it up, just sheep knowing a master's voice. So there's this one where these people have heard, you know, what the call is. And it was something like, yep, yep. So all these people are going, yep, yep. And now the sheep, he's just eating. Yep. Somebody else comes, yep, yep. No, nobody is listening to the, and then the shepherd comes. He just goes, yep. And all the sheep look up. And they all, you know, prance over to the shepherd. I go, that's so cool. But the thing is, everyone in the countryside would know that. And they said, when the shepherd, they know his voice. And he calls them out of the pen. And you go, yeah, they'd all know that. We don't know that. We can't see it. But it's so true. Other people can call, but the shepherd's voice is recognized and loved. You just see the, you know, they're so happy to hear the shepherd's voice. And they just come to the shepherd. So he calls them out of the pen. And then he says, the shepherd goes ahead and leads. He goes ahead over this hill, right? And the sheep don't know what they're doing. He says, yep, yep. And then they all come over. They follow him because they know the tone of his voice. They know what his voice sounds like. People back then, they would like totally get that 100%. So what does one of the things that the shepherd does? We talked about this. The good shepherd guides. He guides. It's not just what he does. He is my good shepherd. And he's guiding me all the time. Because that's who he is. He is my good shepherd. And so he constantly is calling. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. And I know. I've been at this a long time. And I know the pushback. You'll say, yeah, I ask for his guidance. I get nothing. I just don't get anything. I get that. I heard somebody describe it this way, and I love this story. I've used it before about an indigenous person walking through New York City and with a friend. And the person stops, and he says, hold on, do you hear the cricket? And the guy says, no. Honk, honk, you know, with all the city noises. He says, I can't hear any cricket. No, listen. And he says, maybe. And he says, how do you hear that? He said, my ears are attuned to that. And he said, nah. He says, no, if you listen enough, you'll hear what you want to hear. He says, no. And so the guy takes a coin, flips it, and lets it hit the concrete. 10 people go. Why? Because that's what they are trained to hear. And so I believe very firmly that God wants you to train your ears to hear him, to train your ears to hear him. I saw another video of a young shepherd. The old shepherd had retired, and this young shepherd was working with the sheep, and he was trying to get them to learn his voice. He was a month into it, and he was saying, they're starting to get it, but it's hard, right? Because they're used to hearing these other voices, but they need to hear my voice in the same way. Same way, we need to be able to hear the shepherd's voice. So, can we start small? Instead of saying, you know, the first thing you ask the shepherd is, who should I marry? Okay, that's kind of a big one, all right? I know, just a big one. I'm just putting that out there. Let's start with training your ear to hear. How about this one? who should I pray for, Lord? That's not a bad one. It's, do I have any sin to confess? That's a really easy one for me. I go, do I need to, oh yeah, I barely get it out. Oh yeah, yeah, that thing. Yeah. How should I pray for my friends? Easy way to train your ears for that. Show me something in your word, God. Just grow me to understand one small thing. And I believe the Good Shepherd guides because that's who he is. He is our shepherd. Not only that, we're protected by knowing his voice. Protected by knowing this voice. This verse is so powerful. John 10:7, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers. There's thieves and robbers that will try and steal your attention. You will now find them on podcasts and YouTube. And you'll find them in all kinds of things around you. And there's going to be other voices that are not helpful. Well, how do you guard against other voices? How are sheep protected? All those come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. You know why? They know the voice of the shepherd. They're hearing and they go, ha, 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 that was so not right. That was not right at all. Listen, if we get into God's word and continue to feast in God's word, by the way, I love Church on the Rock, because I know so many of you here read God's word regularly. I know you got tons of questions. And I love answering some of those questions. The deal is, but guess what? The more you feast on God's word and he speaks to you through it, the more you'll recognize the counterfeit and robbery voices. But if you never hear his voice, you'll be fooled by many things. We're protected by knowing his voice. Something else, here's the second point I want to make here, is not just the Good Shepherd guides, but this. We're owned by the shepherd. We're owned by the shepherd. John 10:11-14, he said, Jesus says a second time, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And in other words, he's telling people, I'm going to die for my sheep. That's how much I love them. That's how compassionate I am for them. The hired hand is not the shepherd. And does not own the sheep. I'm going to say that again, okay? Just so you notice, I slowed down on that a little bit. Hired hand is not shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away and becomes a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Then he comes back and repeats it again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. This is really a harsh reproof to other spiritual leaders around there at the time. He said, listen, you don't really care about these people. You kind of are in it for the money. You're in it for the prestige. You're in it for a lot of things. But your heart does not ache for these people. And then he says something. He owns his sheep. Ownership brings a higher levels of attention and care. Have you ever thought about that? Ownership brings higher levels of attention and care. Those of you who work in management or ownership, you know this. Okay, you know this, right? You go into a restaurant. I go into a restaurant. I see people working away, and I see somebody coming by, and they go, they're picking up a piece of paper here and there, and they're doing an extra welcome. You know what I'm thinking? That's the manager. That's the owner, right? Because everybody else, I'm making the money, I'm flipping the burgers, right? Or, you know, I'm doing what I have to. But the owner, all of a sudden, this is important. This is important. Ownership brings higher levels of attention and care. This happens with parents, too. I know after the kids' service, everybody chills at the big play yard. By the way, you know what? Oh, man, my dream is to get us a beautiful play yard in the courtyard of our new building so all the parents can just chill with the coffee and the kids can just go and swing and hopefully not hurt themselves. Anyway, but it's really fun if you chill with some parents at the play yard. They're all, like, having coffee, talking about the day. Then you hear some kid go, ah! They all look up. You know, like meerkats. And the one who runs is the parent. Because that's their child. That's their child. It's interesting, isn't it? I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. I am owned by my King. I am His. I am His. And not everybody is a child of the King. Not everybody is a child of God. I think that's one of the lies out there. Hey, have you ever heard that? You know, oh, everybody's a child of God. Kind of, but not really, no. Actually, the Bible says in John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It takes belief, it takes acceptance of him as your Savior to become a child of God. You know what? Everyone is made in the image of God, so we respect everyone. We give everyone great respect and honor because they're made in the image of God. But not everybody is a child of God. In 1 John 3:1, see what great love that the Father has lavished on us. This is a gift to be able to be a child of God, that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. It's a massive gift. And so I am Jesus' own. I am Jesus' own. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. But have you ever thought about the other way around? If the Lord's my shepherd, I'm his sheep. I am his sheep. Three times this passage says in John 10, the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And so it just made me think about 1 Corinthians 6:20, where the Bible says, you are bought with a price. Jesus has laid down his life for you. You have been bought with a price. And it makes me think about that weird word in John 10, the shepherd owns the sheep. Now, I know that doesn't feel right, does it? Just go, oh, I don't want to be owned by anybody. Nobody can tell me what to do. Nobody, you know, I am not owned by anybody. I'm my own person. Guess what's saying that to you? Culture. We're in this culture of freedom. Freedom to be whoever you want to be. You're just free to do whatever you want to do. Because freedom reigns. And we have overdosed and we are all drunk on freedom in our culture. And Jesus said, hold on. Can I be your good shepherd? Yeah, I want you to be my good shepherd. Come and comfort me. Give me gifts. Do all kinds of things. Good, then you need to be my sheep. I don't like that part. I love it that you are my shepherd. But when he says, when I call, you need to follow. I don't like that part. Just feed me, okay? Feed me. I'm not sure about the other side of it. We want the benefits of God as our Father without him telling us what to do. But good parents, come on, good parents, you know this. No one lets their child do whatever they want to do. It's not good for them. Go play in the streets. Woo! They'll swerve for you. No parent does that, right? No parent goes, hey, candy, who needs real food? Go ahead. Pack it in. Okay, maybe some parents. Okay, the idea. It's to have actually someone that is yours and gives higher level attention care. And so God does that. We are Jesus' own. We are Jesus' own. So it is comforting that I am owned by Jesus. And yet I need to open my ears to him. The good shepherd guides. His voice should be normal. It should feed our souls. It should guide us. We should want to hear our shepherd. And if he tells us to do anything, we should say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because you are my King. And that's what I loved about Arson's testimony. Wasn't that awesome? Arson heard God say, tell him you need Jesus. Arson, we often have these conversations with God. No. You know how long those last, right? Okay. Lord is my shepherd. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Okay, that's the right path. You're going to guide me. My good shepherd guides. The good shepherd guides. And so, often, he will lean in. And as he guides you, he will whisper his love to you. I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up. He will say things like, I won't leave you. Dave, I won't leave you. You have me. And I have you. As I press in and listen to God, and I said, God, could you speak to me? I hear things. I never hear a real voice, just thoughts that come up out of nowhere. You can rest in me, Dave. You've done enough. Lately, I was asking God, could you just whisper your love to me again? I need to hear you. First thing that came to mind, you're right where I want you, Dave. You're right where I want you. That's a beautiful thing. Sometimes he speaks through his word. Often he speaks through his word. When I find out the God of all hope wants to give me peace and joy as I trust in him. Thank you, God. I need to trust in you more because I need that peace and joy. And that's going to overflow to hope. So, my good friends, the good shepherd guides. Who is Jesus? He says, I am the good shepherd, and I want to guide you. I'm going to take a moment now in real time. Let's take some real time and listen to him. Let's listen to him. Perhaps he'll tell you that you are forgiven or that you are need to be filled with comfort. Let's take some time. If you could close your eyes, bow your heads. You can try this at home with me too. In the quiet of where you are, just allow yourself to say, forgive me, Father. As you breathe out, just forgive me, Father. And say, God, I need you. And as you breathe in, just, God, I need you. If you need to do that again, just say, forgive me, Father. I've strayed. God, I need you. It's like Arson said, I need Jesus right now. Now what I'd like you to say is just simply, Father, what would you say to me? Let's have some quiet. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I love that you are my shepherd. Oh my God, I need you. I need you every single day. Please continue to lead me in green pasture. Guide me in your righteous paths. Protect me. Show your compassion to me again and again. I need you. And God, give me strength. Although I will fail, I pray that I will say yes to every tap. Every time you nudge me to obey you, give me your power because I need you, Jesus. Thank you for being the good shepherd. Amen. Amen.